seek him here, they seek him there. Those Frenchies seek him everywhere. Is he in heaven? Is he in hell? That damned elusive Pimpernel.
Presenting Marius Goring, star of the motion picture Red Shoes, as Baroness Orkney's immortal character, the Scarlet Pimpernel. The Adventures of the Scarlet Pimpernel, starring Marius Goring as Sir Percy Blakeney.
It was Colonel Dewhurst, just back from Dieppe, who brought the news to our parish headquarters, the inn called Les Trois Epices. And bad news it was.
I hate to bring bad tidings, Blakeney, but we've lost Roussillon.
Our agent in Gournay, you mean?
Yes. I heard about it as I was passing through.
What do you mean, lost him?
He was arrested 3 days ago.
The trade?
Well, it's hard to say. Perhaps he was just careless. Anyhow, there's one consolation, if you can call it that.
What?
Well, there's no danger in your talk.
How can you be sure?
He was found dead in his cell the same evening.
Jewish guy?
Yeah.
Poor Roussillon. He's a good man. We've got to do something, Tony. There are hundreds of refugees from the Terror looking to us to get into England. If we are to fail them, we must keep the escape route from Paris open to the coast. The Gournay stage is a vital one. With no one there...
I know. One severed link and the whole chain becomes useless.
Exactly. Well, now we've got to find someone to replace Roussillon.
What about Henri Chalon?
Who's he?
A draper in Gournay.
You know him?
Well, personally, but he's sympathetic to our cause and willing to help if called on.
How do you know that?
Roussillon mentioned his name several times. He said he could be relied on implicitly.
In view of what's happened to Roussillon, I doubt if you'll find him very willing to help now.
Well, that's not. But unless you've someone else in mind...
No one?
And at least we should put it to him. Give him an opportunity to say yes or no.
I quite agree.
And the sooner the better.
Agreed again. Gournay's watch from here, about 5 hours?
6 hours.
Splendid. We leave about 10 o'clock, that means we should be there by dawn. And so it was that next morning, Monsieur Henri Chalon had two unexpected callers at his little shop in Gournay. They announced themselves as merchants with samples to show. And led them into his parlor where they could talk in private.
You will have a glass of wine, citizen?
Oh, thank you.
Kind of you, monsieur.
You won't think it ill-mannered of me if I don't join you.
Oh, not at all.
My stomach, you know, won't stand anything stronger than milk. I've been that way for years.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
One gets used to it. Your glass, my friend. And yours.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So you bought samples from Paris, huh?
Yes.
I must warn you, I'm in no position to buy much. These new taxes, you know, they leave the people with nothing to spare. However, if you'd like to show me what you have...
Perhaps instead of the samples, monsieur, you may be interested to see, this.
The pressed flower, huh? Pretty little thing.
You don't recognize it?
I know what that is.
It's an English flower. They call it the Scarlet Pimpernel.
Huh? Very interesting.
I once gave a similar flower to a friend of yours.
Indeed, monsieur?
Armand Roussillon.
What makes you think he was my friend?
He told us, at least he told my colleague here.
He mentioned you many times, Monsieur Chalon.
Roussillon is dead now.
Yes, he was a brave man.
There are some who say he was a fool.
It depends on your point of view, of course. He believed in something and gave his life for it.
Yes, it's better to die for something, I suppose, than just to die as we all must.
Then you will help us, monsieur?
Help you?
You must guess why we're here. You know who we are.
How should I know? Oh, yes, the flower, but... Anyone can pluck a flower and press it.
What can we do to prove our identity?
It's true, I did know Roussillon slightly. He told me once of a certain Englishman he knew.
Yes.
An English milor, he said. About your height and your build, monsieur.
Mine?
Yes. Of course, there are many people of your height and build. But he told me this English milor had a mole...
On the right forearm, just above the wrist. Was this the advisor, George?
Ah. What is it you wish me to do, my friend?
Carry on the work that Roussillon began.
Here in Gournay?
Yes.
You ask a great deal.
A very great deal. The rewards are small and the risks are grave.
And if I decline,
we shall have to look elsewhere.
It is important to find someone.
If scores of innocent lives are to be saved, it's imperative.
I see. Very well, monsieur. I am your man.
Splendid.
What have I to do?
It's perfectly simple. On the escape route from Paris to Dieppe, there are six stages. The only two that concern you are from Beauvais to here, and from here to Fos.
Our people travel by night and shelter by day. They'll be sent you by our agent in Beauvais, whose name there's no point in your knowing. They'll arrive before dawn. You'll feed them and hide them where they can sleep. And after nightfall, you'll send them on to Fos to an address we'll give you later.
With Chalon filling the vital gap, the escape route began working again at full pressure. For a month or more, all went well. And then one day, Tony came to me with a vaguely disquieting report.
I'm worried about Fuchs.
Why, what's the trouble?
Why, 2 days overdue. He's escorting the Countess de Lorraine and her 3 children, isn't he?
Yes, they had been at Paris 10 days ago.
Expired to Dieppe, 2 to return.
Yeah, he should have been back there before yesterday. He assured me it would be.
Oh, I shouldn't worry. He's probably been delayed.
Well, it's not like him. He's always so reliable.
Even so, anything may have happened. One of the children may have been taken ill, for instance. Or Republican troops may be a little more active than usual.
Oh, perhaps you're right. Well, we're saying, I don't think we should take any chances.
Oh, how do you mean?
Well, Harding is supposed to leave with the party tonight. I think it's unwise for him to set out till Andrew turns up and reports all as well.
Isn't that being a little overcautious?
Well, better to be that way than take foolish risks.
I'd better. I'll pass the word on to Harding.
Right. If anything has happened,
oh,
Andrew,
well, let's worry about that when the time comes. Personally, I shouldn't be at all surprised if he turns up sometime this evening.
But 2 more days passed with no sign of Fuchs. 2 days of steadily mounting apprehension. And it wasn't until late on the night of the 2nd that the door was flung open and he appeared.
Fuchs! Oh, we've just about given you up.
Get me a drink. Something.
Brandy in the cupboard.
Right.
You heard?
Oh, just glancing wound in the shoulder.
Let me have a look.
Nothing, really. Lost a bit of blood, that's all.
Oh, we'll soon see about that. Well, sorry. I like your idea of nothing. Unfortunately, the bullet went right through. We shan't have to probe. It looks fairly clean.
Yeah, drink this.
Thanks.
Better?
Yes, a lot.
Tony, hot water, plenty of it, and bandages.
I have.
When did you eat last?
Yesterday.
I thought as much. Tony!
Yeah?
Tell the landlord to prepare and send up a hot meal.
Right.
Now, what's this all about?
I'm afraid it's bad news.
The Countess?
Either dead or a prisoner. I don't know.
And the children?
They've been taken too.
How did it happen?
It was on the 5th stage. We left Fors after nightfall. And a couple of miles outside the town, we were carried. The coachman whipped up the horses and we tried to make a run and fight it.
How many of them were there?
4 or 5. Well mounted too. It was pitch dark, but I managed to drop one of them as he drew up alongside. Then the driver missed a bend in the road and he turned over into the ditch. After that, it was all a little confused.
I can imagine it.
The Countess was probably pinned under the carriage. Certainly unconscious. Probably dead. The children refused as they crawled out. And you? I fought as best I could, but they were too much for me. I was bound and we started off the road back to Fors. Just outside the town, I managed to loosen my bonds and break free. I was hit by a random shot. In the darkness, I was able to elude them. I lay low for most of the night. I thought if I could reach our agent, Fors, I'd be all right. So about an hour before dawn, I crept into the town. I got there just in time to see them dragging him away.
The troops, you mean?
Yes.
But he'd be betrayed?
Either that or one of the children had unwittingly given him away.
That's a possibility, of course. Well, what did you do?
There was only one thing to do. I hid in a hayrick all day and then set off for Gournay. It took me 2 nights to get there.
You must have been all in.
I was, just about.
I have the water for the bandages.
Thanks. Carry on with your story. Well, I'll attend to this wound of yours. Shall all been taken, too?
No, thank goodness. He looked after me like a father. I set off the following night for Paris.
You should have stayed a day or two to regain your strength.
I knew he'd be anxious. Besides, I wanted to get word to you of what had happened, in case you'd sent anyone else over the route. So, well, here I am.
Oh, things are in a mess.
Well, what's the trouble?
Another link of the chain's broken, I'm afraid.
Oh, where this time?
False.
Not old Brichon, the schoolmaster.
I'm afraid, sir.
You have to go there at once. See if we can find someone else.
Importantly, won't be any problem.
How's that?
Chelon has no friend there. Says he's absolutely reliable.
Splendid. How's that? More comfortable now?
Oh, yes, thanks.
I'll nearly be up in a few minutes.
Good.
Did Chelon mention who this friend was?
No. He says you'd pick him up in Gournay. And he'd then go on port with you and introduce you to this man, whoever he is.
Yes, it seems the best plan. What's the time now?
Quarter past 11.
We can just about do it tonight if you ride hard. Yes, tell me after that. Horse is ready for us in 20 minutes. Dawn was breaking as we clattered over the cobbles in the Gournay. We roused Chalon, who welcomed us eagerly. Took us into the kitchen, gave us a large bowl of hot soup, and as we ate, we talked.
Fuchs told us about this friend of yours in Thor. He's absolutely dependable.
Absolutely, monsieur. I've known him since we were boys together.
You think he'll be willing to act in Richard's place?
I'm sure of it. We have talked many times. He believes in the same things as I do, you see.
Excellent. Would it be convenient for you to come with us to Thor's tonight?
But of course, monsieur. I'm yours to command.
You've heard no news of the Comtesse de Lorraine and her children, I suppose?
Yeah, no, monsieur.
Fuchs seemed to think it was the children who unwittingly gave Richard away.
Ah, I wish I could agree.
You believe there's some other explanation?
I'm sure there is. Somewhere on the escape route between here and Forge, there is a traitor.
Marius Goring returns as the Scarlet Pimpernel.
Somewhere between Gournay and Forge, there was a traitor. Tony and I looked at him, stunned.
Traitor, Monsieur Chalon? What makes you think that?
All the evidence points to it.
You mean Brichon's arrest?
And before that, Rousillon. Did it never occur to you to wonder how he was caught?
I thought he may have grown a little careless.
Rousillon was never careless.
Then you believe he was betrayed?
I have no doubt of it.
By whom?
I don't know. I wish I did. Could it be your agent in Beauvais, perhaps?
Milo?
No. No, it's impossible.
Quite impossible. His loyalty is beyond doubt.
Then we must look elsewhere.
I'm more inclined to think it's someone here in Gournay. Someone working in the dark.
If you are right, monsieur, I will find him sooner or later. And now, you have eaten well?
Yes,
thanks. There are beds upstairs. You must be tired after your all-night ride. You may sleep through the day without fear. I'll awaken you at sundown, and after nightfall, we'll leave for Paul.
By 8 o'clock, we set out. The new moon shed just enough light for us to see the silver ribbon of road that stretched ahead. After about an hour, we found ourselves approaching the black mass of a thick clump of trees. And then, with no warning at all, as we drew on this...
Oh, hold it! In the name of the Republic! Carry on! Right
boy! But it was too late. Shadows were swarming over the road. Hands were grasping at our bridles, others tugging at our legs to drag us from our mouths. It was a good fight while it lasted, but finally we were overwhelmed by sheer weight of numbers. We were disarmed, our wrists were bound, and then a lantern was lit and flashed in our faces.
Now, shall we go?
Under close escort, we were taken that night to the ridge of Saint-Germain, a few miles outside Gournay. There, for some reason, we were separated. Chalon was marched off under guard, and Tony and I, still bound, were thrown into a tiny wooden slab house. The door was slammed to and locked, and we were left alone in the darkness.
With Cartier's last words of warning to be ready to leave for Paris at dawn. Do we have any chance of getting out of here, Blakeney?
I don't know. How are your bonds?
So tight, they're cutting into my wrist.
So am I, dear. I'm going to play in my fingers, though. Yeah, come over here, close to me. I feel I can get at your lot.
Oh. How about?
I can just about touch them.
Think they're doing it?
I doubt it. They're too well tied.
Somebody had a knife or some sharp instrument.
Oh, might as well fly for the moon.
Well, there's my watch.
It'd hardly a sharp instrument.
Well, if you could manage to get it out of my soft pocket, you could break the glass, perhaps. And that'll give us a cutting edge.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Think you can get it?
Well, I'll try. Hold still, hold still. I think I can feel the chain. I think.
Does it?
Yes. Yes, got it. Got it. Slipped that through my fingers.
Well, at least we shan't have to worry about breaking the glass.
Can it be find any of the pieces in this Stygian gloom?
Well, let's lie on the floor and feel about as best we can.
Find anything?
Like looking for a needle in a haystack. I touched something metallic.
Well, it's probably part of the watch.
Oh, there it is again. Slide over this way, Blakeney. Have you seen anything?
I think so. Yes. Yes, it's a piece of glass.
Can you get it between your fingers?
Yes, it's not a very big piece, I'm afraid.
Well, never mind.
It might do the job. Just turn your back to me.
Hammer.
No, round. That's fine. Move close. Right in. I'll see what I can do.
It took 10 minutes of patient sawing before the first strand gave. I stopped for a moment to give my aching fingers a rest. And then we heard it. A gentle tapping on the wall of the hut.
Listen, Blakeney. There's someone outside.
There it goes again.
It's Fuchs. The code signal. I'll try to reply with my heel on the floor. Let's see if he replies. It is Fuchs.
Are you in there, Tony?
We're both in here.
Good. Call for the guard. Tell him anything that'll persuade him to open the door.
Right. Leave it to me, Tony. You keep silent, except for an occasional groan, if you like.
What?
Guard! Stop! I hear someone coming. Stop!
What's the trouble in there?
It's my friend. He's taken ill. I think he's dying.
Nonsense.
Well, listen to him. Or please do something.
All right. I'll go and tell the captain.
There's no time for that. Please have a look at him yourself.
Very well. All right, then.
Thank you, guard. He's over here.
Sounds like he's having a fit, sir.
Well, let's take care of him. Come on, you two.
I hand the band.
No time to bother about that now. Come on.
With Fuchs leading the way, we reached the main gate of the barracks. Waited till the sentry had turned his back and then stepped silently through. A few hundred yards outside the village, we stopped in the shelter of some trees. And Fuchs' knife quickly freed our bonds.
Thank goodness you turned up, Fuchs. You wouldn't have had a chance in a thousand for getting away otherwise.
Well, how did you happen to appear?
Yes, you're supposed to be in Paris still.
I had a feeling about you two, a sort of premonition. As soon as you call it, so the morning after you left, I rode off here.
Well, you traveled the road by day.
Oh, well, suitably disguised, of course. Anyhow, I reached Gournay about dusk. I knew Chalon would keep under cover until nightfall, and then I guessed you'd all be going on to Forge. So I waited. I saw you leaving Forge.
And you must have seen us ride right into the ambush.
Well, I didn't actually see it. I was too far behind in the darkness, but I heard it. And I managed to keep close enough to hear your conversation with the captain.
Then you followed us here to Saint-Germain?
Yes.
Good work, Fuchs. If we weren't have been taken before Chauvelin, we wouldn't have had a chance.
What about Chalon? Any chance of rescuing him, too?
Well, we've got to try. Trouble is, we've no idea whereabouts in the barracks they're holding him.
He's not in the barracks at all.
Not? But last time we saw him, he was on his way on the escort to the main building.
And soon after that, he was brought back.
What happened to him then?
I don't know. I had to keep undercover, so I lost sight of him. But soon afterwards, I heard horses' hoofs passing through the main gate on the way out.
I wonder why they could have taken him away.
I wonder. Gournay's only a couple of miles from here, isn't it, Andrew?
Yes.
Along this road?
That's right.
Oh, I see it all quite clearly now. Should have realized from the start, of course.
You mean...
Come along, you two. Before we return to Paris, we have a little unfinished business to attend to. It lasted little more than half an hour to dawn when we reached our destination in Gournay. We knocked four times before we heard footsteps inside. And then the door opened.
What's going on out there? Knocking the count on honest city?
You? Sir, you managed to escape, Mr. Chalon.
Why, yes.
Certainly. Thanks to our friend here.
Aren't you going to reply to this, monsieur?
Yes, of course.
It's coming by all means.
Thank you.
Keep an eye on that door, Andrew. Tell me, monsieur, how did you manage it?
Manage it?
Your escape.
Oh, They locked him in a room.
Inside the barracks, you mean?
Yes, but there was a skylight, you see. So I got on a table and put a chair on that.
And you were able to reach out and open the skylight and get there?
Yes, that's right.
Splendid. You took a lot of risk coming back to your house, sir, didn't you?
Well, I gambled on them not discovering I was gone for a while. And then there were things I had to do here, valuables to collect, papers to restore.
You done all that now?
Yes, I clear now.
Then we'd better go.
Huh?
Go? You are coming with us, aren't you, Matthias?
Well,
I think you should, you know. It's much too dangerous.
Well, I appreciate your solicitude, of course.
Not at all. You've served the league so faithfully. It's up to us to do all we can for you. But do you think we might have a glass of wine before we go?
Dr. Lee, I'll get one, shall I?
Oh, don't bother, monsieur.
I see a bottle here. I have a glass.
Oh. I'm afraid we shan't get far before dawn. That means we shall have to hide during the day and make our way out to nightfall. But you won't mind that, will you?
Why, no. Of course not.
Here are the drinks. Yours, Blakeney? Mine. And yours.
Thanks.
A toast. The very elusive fellow, the Pimpernel.
The Pimpernel.
The Pimpernel.
Ah, excellent wine.
I'm glad you like it.
And we are so glad your stomach has improved, aren't we, Danny?
Oh, like it. My stomach?
Successful impersonation depends upon the closest attention to all detail, monsieur.
I don't know what you mean.
If you'd studied Chalon as carefully as you should have done, you'd have known he didn't drink wine.
Oh, you're suggesting that...
What's happened to Chalon, monsieur?
This is absurd.
Is he dead or in prison?
Answer me. Answer me. I give you my word.
You were quite right, of course, when you said that somewhere on the escape route between Gournay and Falls there was a traitor, but you omitted to mention it as yourself. Very clever. Chalon was caught. Chauvelin decided to play me at my own game, and so he put in one of his own men, disguised as Chalon. You betrayed Grishon, didn't you?
No.
And the Countess and her children.
No, it's not true, it's not. If I did what you say, wouldn't I have handed over your friend Folks?
Oh, no, you wanted bigger game than Folks. So you sent him back to Paris with an urgent message that you knew would catch Tony and me. You knew about the ambush in advance. And after we've been locked up, the captain very considerately set you free.
Lies! All lies!
And where is the real Chalon?
Is he alive or dead? Answer me or I'll squeeze the life out of you.
Dead?
He says we're going, Percy. It's almost dawn.
Dawn, eh? The traditional hour at which traitors meet their doom. Shall we go, monsieur?
Returns as the Scarlet Pimpernel.
Sheltered wood outside the town. Tony, Andrew Fuchs, myself, and the man who called himself Chalon.
You're not going to shoot me in cold blood, are you? That would be... No!
Oh, no, we play the game according to the rules, monsieur. Even a man like you has his chance. Tony, Andrew, I have three stores here.
Usual condition?
Longest wind.
Yes.
I drop that.
Oh, much too short, I'm sure. This can't be it either.
Sorry, gentlemen, the honor is mine. Will you take over, Tony?
Yes, of course. You have first choice of pistols, monsieur.
Thank you.
You'll stand back to back, like so. I'll take 10 paces as I count them, and on the 10th you'll turn in your own time and fire. Ready?
Yes.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Shall we go, gentlemen?
Adventures of the Scarlet Pimpernel, starring Marriott Goring, with music composed and conducted by Sidney Gorch. Produced by Harry Allen Towers.